Let's face it, talking about money is always awkward. In the new book, Broke Millennial Talks Money, financial writer and expert Aaron Lowry helps take the stress out of these tricky conversations with scripts, tips, and troubleshooting advice. She takes you through every possible money talk scenario, everything from telling your friends that you can't live up to their lifestyle to talking to your parents about their retirement. Again, the name of the book is Broke Millennial Talks Money, and we welcome Aaron Lowry to the roundtable this morning. Aaron, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you here. So let's talk just about part of the subtitle. Why do financial conversations so often have to be awkward?
Oh, I wish they didn't have to be. But I think ultimately it's because so many of us are worried about judgment. So it's a judgment and or shame issue that gets brought up. And that typically only happens when we're talking to people that we actually care about and have a deep connection with, compared to maybe the stranger sitting next to you on an airplane or on a bus, because those are the people we seem to be able to have very frank, blunt conversations with, because the risk of judgment isn't really there so much. They'll probably never see that person again.
So you have written this series, and so how did we come to hear of Talking Money and got to this point in this particular book?
Well, the first two books are a bit more foundational and prescriptive in the sense of Broke Millennial, Stop Scraping By and Get Your Financial Life Together is the first book in the series, which goes over all of those very classic personal finance, the budgeting, the credit scores, even all the way to like buying a house and talking a little bit about negotiation. Book two is Broke Millennial Takes on Investing. It's right there in the title for you. It talks all about how to get it together as an investor. But after that, I started to recognize how many people were still asking me questions that had a lot more to do with how to talk about money to other people. So whether that was going into a negotiation and asking coworkers how much they made in order to figure out information for yourself, or asking your parents, am I your retirement plan, or figuring out how to set boundaries with the romantic partner in your life, or figuring out how to merge your money as a married couple. All of these conversations very much are connected to our money, and there are so many others. But at the end of the day, it's all about how do we talk about money? We have to protect that great financial house that we've built by being able to set healthy and productive boundaries.
I know this is impossible to answer globally, but just anecdotally, how has a global pandemic impacted the broke millennial?
I mean, it's a mix for sure. And I would say for a lot of people, it has forced us to have these conversations, whether it's because of job loss and the need to either perhaps borrow from a loved one, move back in with family members or friends in order to have a little bit of financial support. It's also made it a lot easier in certain ways for us to be able to decline invitations, to say no, and use the very understandable excuse of, I was furloughed. I'm not earning income. I'm currently on unemployment. I can't do that right now. And there's a bit more understanding right now than there ever has been before.
Talk a little bit about, I mentioned, again, back to the subtitle of scripts, stories, and advice, but you have scripts in the book. And those are really important because if there are certain scenarios that come to us, you help us walk through those. As we mentioned, those can be awkward conversations to have, and having a script to follow is often very helpful.
It is. And one of my favorites, for instance, because I get asked the question a lot of, well, how do you ask somebody how much money they make? And a woman that I interviewed, Alexandra Dickinson, who's a negotiation expert, just has a three-part script. And so her first sentence is, I'm doing research because, and you insert your reason. So interviewing a new position, trying to determine if your salary is within range. Then the next sentence is, and I think you have some information that could help me. And the third, would you be willing to share your ballpark salary with me? So it's three really easy sentences that you can use as a script to actually have that conversation with someone.
You have one in here that I think is really practical, but it's, you know, how to talk to your really good friend or someone that you know that you're not on the same financial plane that they are. All these plans are great, but I can't keep up with your lifestyle.
Which is a situation so many of us have been in at some point. And in that case, I love the counteroffer strategy. So you're affirming that you still want to spend time with this person and you care about this person, but maybe whatever activity they want to indulge in isn't really in your budget right now. So using the old, you know, compliment sandwich, if you will, I really want to spend time with you, but I just don't really have brunch in my budget for this week. Could we grab a bagel and go for a walk in the park instead? So you're not just giving a flat no, you're giving some context, and then you're also providing a counter offer that could be a solution.
And it's also, I mean, we would think that most people know that not everyone is on the same plane, but sometimes people can be tone deaf to that.
They can, and it's also this acknowledgement of, as life changes, you have to be aware that even if you are making the same amount of money, as people make different life choices, that's going to really impact their discretionary income and even their value sets and goals around their money. You might make the exact same salary as your best friend, but if your best friend got married, bought a house, had kids, and you're still child-free and have a lot more discretionary income, that's a huge difference. Going out to dinner for you is a lot simpler than your friend has to hire a babysitter and pay for that, as well as going out to dinner. And those parts of this also need to be in the conversation.
When you put all of this together, the advice to navigate us to these financial conversations, how different is the advice that you would give to a broke millennial to someone else of another generation? How specific, not so much your book, but how specific are the issues that millennials are facing that are vastly different from other generations?
Well, certainly some of these are timeless issues that all generations before us have faced in some way. But I would say the ways in which they are unique is that we were reared with social media, and this idea of keeping up with the Joneses has, of course, always been there. But the way that you can now show and flaunt how you're spending your money is quite different than ever before. It used to be seeing the house, seeing the car, seeing the jewelry, seeing the clothing, but now you're also seeing the concerts and the restaurants and all these experiential things. There's a lot of conversation about millennials valuing experience as opposed to tangible goods, which might be true, but it still is a very materialistic behavior that we're engaging in because you can flaunt it in a very specific way. And even if you know cognitively that, of course, social media is a curated version of somebody's life, you still have an emotional reaction to it. It's still hard to keep that sort of reptilian brain from turning on when you get jealous. And psychology of envy is a bit discussed in this book as well. And you're just going to experience those feelings. And I also think that for all of the conversation around millennials living in our parents' basements for periods of our life, we are also in a situation along with our Gen X cohorts that parents are aging and millennials are aging. Older millennials are turning 40, and we're reaching a point where we might need to be taking care of our parents both financially, emotionally, and physically. So those also need to be important conversations that are had now. And of course, all generations previously have dealt with some version of this, but we do need to be having the conversation. If it's not already cultural for you to care for your parents, what's going to happen to them?
Yeah, that was actually the reason I asked the question, is because you beautifully put in this book how to talk to your parents about their retirement, if they can afford it, and if they'll need your support, the broke millennial support, as they age, which is a very difficult conversation to have, probably with a lot of unknowns as well.
It is. And for so many parents of millennials, I look at the choices that they had to make, particularly, you know, going through 08, perhaps raiding their retirement accounts to pay for college. They were doing what they thought was in the best interest of their child. But now on the back end, the child might need to provide care for the parents. And that needs to be an open, honest conversation early before it's an actual problem or an actual reality, so that the child, the adult child at that, can financially prepare. And particularly if you look at perhaps two people who get married to each other, with both sets of parents need support. And that's going to be a very big reality for many, many people in our generation. And knowing earlier allows you to make a plan for it.
Erin Lowry is the author of the new book, Broke Millennial Talks Money Scripts. stories and advice to navigate awkward financial conversations. And it's a great pleasure to have you on the program, Erin. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
Be well. Again, the name of the book is Broke Millennial Talks Money. It is published by Tarcher Perigee. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.